to the SEO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, owner of eWeb Results.
I am Charles Lewis, your client results advocate.
Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of our podcast. This is podcast
325.
325, as I look over my shoulder to see it. This is the culmination of a long series of podcasts that
Ended up at 325.
325. Yeah. As always, there is a tip from our previous podcast, and that tip is have continuity from search results page to landing page to CTA.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, you want to present a consistent message from search all the way to lead capture. That way that user experiences the same thing and they get exactly what they're looking for.
That is another great tip. Please remember, we are your friendly local neighborhood
top position snatchers.
And our mantra is,
do not be a douche.
I forgot to, please remember, we're filmed in Houston. It felt short, right?
Yeah, I was about to bring it right back to you.
Hey, we've got a great article for you.
And you still skipped it. We live, film live here in Houston, Texas. 599 West 34th Street, Houston, Texas.
And we got the paparazzi going. Yeah. Hey, we got a great article today. And that article
Man, punch in the face to Julia McCoy, man. She's, you know, VIP editor over there at SCJ. She always publishes good content. And she posted this today, 10 valuable content marketing lessons we can learn from print. And so we'll dig into that in just a minute.
Excellent. So if you're in a position to, and you have some sort of electric device similar to this or the watch that Charles was tapping on, what should they tweet?
You should tweet us, use the hashtag SEO Podcast, tag it is 325, and then tag us in it at Best SEO Podcast, at eWeb Results. That way we can follow you back and do all of our social networking stuff.
If this is the first time you've listened to the podcast, howdy. Welcome to the podcast. We're glad you can join us. We got a little bit of potatoes to get
glad
through.
Glad to see you. Even though I don't really see you, but glad to have you anyway.
You can see us, actually. Yeah. This is filmed live. It's great that you're joining us, and we got to get through a little bit of potatoes, and then we're going to get into some meat. Mm-hmm. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you know what we're going to skip. Because we are going to skip something. The way it works is if we get 10 Psychos,
shares, likes, and follows. That was our eWeb coin term for social engagement.
Right.
Psychos.
To say share, like, and follow all the time, it's just so passe.
Yeah.
So now it's Psycho. If we get 10 Psychos on any one of our social media platforms and we get a review, then we don't tell you how you could go leave a review. We will tell you how you could engage with us.
Yeah, definitely.
And we make it simple. You could do things like go to Facebook.com/...
eWeb Results.
YouTube.com/...
eWeb Results.
Twitter.com/...
eWeb Results.
Instagram.com/...
eWeb Results.
LinkedIn.com/...
eWeb Results.
/...
Oh, eWeb Results. My bad.
And I think that's all of them. All of those will get you to our profile page. And what you can do is Psycho us on that page.
Share, like, and follow our content.
All of that good stuff. Hey, if you're a PHP genius or a WordPress guru, we're probably looking for you. Go ahead and submit an audio resume.
I feel like we need one of those posters with Uncle Sam at that moment.
We want
it. Yeah, exactly.
Our phone number is, or the phone number for that PHP position and WordPress position, guru position, 713-510-7846. If you want a free comprehensive website analysis, we have one for you and maybe even your clients. All you need to do is go to ewebresults.com. There is a big green button that you cannot miss, and just click it and follow the instructions. It's a form. You can do it. Do we have any algo cat today?
No algo cat today.
We do not have any algo cat. We do have some wet news. You got to remember that.
I do have wet news.
I do. Okay. Yeah. So,
I don't have any wood.
I got some news. Let's do the petif first. This petif goes to Craig Anderson.
Punch in the face to you, Mr. Anderson.
He signed up for a newsletter, and I just thought I'd reach out to him. Say, hey, you know, is he had any questions or whatever? He's with GenesisGroup.com. They do mostly civil engineering projects. Mm-hmm. Civil engineering is one of those, when you're dealing a lot with the government, people tend to argue that they don't really need a Facebook.
I really don't need this. I really don't need that. I got to work with the government. I have a referral source.
Yeah. I would
argue that. You still need some representation specifically for your company.
Well, and you start with a credibility and reliability, and they have that. It's a nice looking website. But those jobs are so big that if you just get one in the next 2 years, then it's going to be worth all of your online marketing. So you can either pay for the website and let it sit there and serve its purpose, which you can't really define the ROI.
The brochure.
Yep. Or you can pay for ongoing internet marketing and eventually pay for the whole thing. Yeah. So that's what we would say. Anyway, Craig Anderson, great chatting with him. Thank you.
Yeah, the Twitter question. You wanted to catch that today?
Yeah, I do. I've got this Twitter question. Okay. This is from Dylan Dooms, and it says, how can I best optimize SEO on Adobe Business Catalyst?
Great question. What's this guy? Dylan Dooms. Yeah. Great question. Adobe Business Catalyst. Looked at it before. It's kind of a web design platform that you can build multiple sites on. Got a lot of features, things of that nature. But the one thing about Adobe Catalyst is that it works directly in HTML. And so you can use Dreamweaver and edit your pages using whatever HTML coding you like. You're not stuck with any templates. With that being said, follow best practices when doing your SEO, because it's in HTML, so you can add titles, you can add meta, you can add headers, you can add alt tags, you can do all of the on-page kind of basics that are necessary to have a well-published optimized page. So follow best practices in the HTML section of Adobe Business Catalyst.
And maybe one of the challenges is that in WordPress, you've got the ability to use whatever, and so it kind of really kind of walks
does some of the stuff for you and kind of tells you how well you're doing it, how well you aren't doing it. In Catalyst, you just need to know, right? You don't know what your density is unless you go and figure that out. You don't know if your meta description is too long unless you go and do the math and figure that out. Me by doing it in a situation like Yoast with WordPress, then Yoast is good enough to just tell you. It's been designed to tell you, hey, this is too long, this is too short. Make this adjustments. You use this keyword before, don't use it again. So there's some benefits to using a plugin powered SEO package versus doing it kind of manual. And I believe in Adobe Catalyst, you may have to do that manually.
Yep. What you could use is SEO Quake, right? So get your page, get it live, use SEO Quake on
that. To kind of judge it and then go back and make some adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Dylan Dooms, for that
Hopefully question that helps, man.
Sent to us from Twitter. I do have a little bit of news, and my news is Zuckerberg had his Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest accounts hacked. The article I read was like, he's kind of lazy as it comes to security because there is two-factor authorization on each of those platforms, and he has clearly opted not to use the two-factor. They think it may be linked to the LinkedIn hack that happened in 2012, and so he hasn't changed his password until then.
Yeah, I could imagine if I'm a hacker.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, millions of LinkedIn accounts, and that probably sucked.
Yeah.
How long has that been like that?
Forever.
Really?
Yeah. You should pick up on your own.
And I get plenty of LinkedIn accounts. And one happens to say Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Then I'm obviously going to go
sign in everywhere. See if I got a whatever. And Apple
try account. This account with Bank of America.
Yeah. You just got to find out. I wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I just want to see what.
Just wanted to let him know that, hey, this account works with that one.
I just want to know what $1 billion looks like in a bank account.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Ransomware is outpacing banking trojans. So banking trojans are software that get on your computer, find your banking password, you know, track it when you're logging into your through your browser, and then ransomware is just gaining
holding your computer hostage.
And yeah, hold your computer hostage. You got to pay it. You pay by Bitcoin. So even if I get your banking stuff, I got to get it. Legitimate bank dollars into another legitimate bank, and that's a lot easier to track than, hey, pay me in bitcoins. And oh, by the way, a university in Canada just paid $20,000 to get all of their stuff unhacked. So,
man, look, that's a tough situation to be in.
Yep.
Because it's not guaranteed that you're going to even get it back.
Yep. Not guaranteed you're going to get it back, and
you're definitely not getting that money back.
Yeah. There's a no refund policy when it comes to ransomware. And this I thought was interesting. A bug breaks Lexus's ability to do directions, digital radio, and climate controls. That just makes me nervous, right? Like, it's a bug. They updated it, and now I don't even have AC.
Nav,
AC. Yeah.
I'm telling you, and as much as I love Lexus, I own a Lexus, right?
Yeah.
And what I recently learned about mine is the GS300. My specific model has a fully electric braking system. Didn't know that until needed some brake repairs recently. I would hate for a bug to address
to randomly apply brakes or not allow the brakes to work.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's nerve-wracking. And then more and more cars are doing auto-steering, and you're like, yeah, you're auto-steering, but you have a bug.
You got a bug, or let's say Yeah, you know, what if your car runs out of storage and so you can't get the firmware update?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
What happens during buffering?
Yeah, like, I can't make left turns, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Ooh, too many unknowns.
Yeah, a little nerve-wracking. All right, so we do have a...
That's how, I'm going to let you proceed, but that's just how I know that's not for my generation.
Right.
Because my generation is too focused on the unknowns.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my children's generation, for example, teenagers... They could care less about unknowns.
Right. And it so, sounds really cool. We're going down that path.
They're lazy. I don't have to drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that matters to them.
I like to drive.
Yeah. I prefer to be in control, frankly.
Yeah. All right. So, did you want to cut? Do you have any patips or anything?
No, I didn't have no patips. I did have one bit of news.
Okay.
One piece of news, and I thought this was relevant and worth bringing, which is probably going to be in addition to something we move forward. So, Snapchat outgrew Twitter.
Wow, okay.
Just stop with that headline.
So,
just marinate
so
on that for a minute.
More users than Twitter?
According to Bloomberg News, 150 million people use Snapchat every day, which surpasses the average 136 million actively daily users by Twitter.
Wow.
And I can totally see it. Every third person I've talked to about social media has asked me to follow them on Snapchat. Chuck, have you seen my Snap? Bro, did you see me on chat? I was in the barbershop the other day. He was Snapchatting my haircut. And I listened to him. He literally said, I just finished up my boy Chuck's Snapchat, and he videoed it. And that went out to his people. And I sat there in the chair like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I understand why you did that.
Right.
And so, yeah, stay tuned. In the next couple of weeks, Snapchat will likely be added to our list.
Last time I looked at it, it really felt like it was more like a one-on-one conversation platform.
It's a one-on-one conversation driven by groups.
Okay.
So understand that. We get us a group of followers and we post this conversation. It's still one-on-one to each person who individually reads it. I just posted it to a group.
Oh, so they can reply individually and the others wouldn't see it necessarily.
Exactly.
And so that makes it interesting.
Yeah, it gives you some great one-on-one follow-up with people. Yeah. Great opportunity to be really engaging. Great opportunity to build relationships. I totally get it, and I understand why it's popping like that.
Very interesting. All right, so we do have a review. This review is from Brian Harris. Punch in the Face. Had a great conversation with him today. And let's see. He says, I have learned a lot in the past month.
Hold on. First off, this review is... Five stars.
I'm just skipping everything today, right? I've been listening to the podcast for about a month, and I've learned a lot.
Listener.
Yeah, I'll admit I didn't really get the flow that y'all were creating at first, but after about two episodes, I'm really digging the show and how y'all keep it fun. Hit me up when you want to put your feet in the sand along the Alabama Gulf Coast. He's with Harris Properties.
Alabama? You got properties in Mississippi? Holler at me. We'll be in Mississippi Gulf Coast July 10th through the 14th. So I won't even be in the office for any clients who are tuning in right now. But we will be there.
Excellent. So
they have some activities we can go do.
He is in just Alabama.
Oh, just Alabama.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're gonna help him. I got a good proposal out to him, so we're gonna help him. Hey, that is the potatoes of the podcast. Time to get into the meat.
Yeah. So like I said, 10 valuable content marketing lessons from print and good friend Julia McCoy and the good folks over at Search Engine Journal. Posted this article today, and so let's get right in. You know, printing was one of those things that was here way before the internet, and unfortunately, I ain't gonna say unfortunately, but print won't go away, right? At the end of the day, we're still gonna have billboards, we're still gonna have magazines, you're still gonna have some form of print. It's just gonna be like that. So there's some things we can definitely learn from it, and so let's get right in. She starts off by saying, to improve your content marketing and ensure everything you publish online is exactly as good as the work in your favorite print magazine, then follow these tips. And I highlighted that because people in print spend a lot of time making sure that it's right. There's a lot of best practices in regards to font types and layouts and how content is structured. And so when we consider web content, there's definitely some things we can pick up. First one she says is do your research, right? She says, in addition to making your writing authoritative, research also allows you to write original, unique content that captivates your reader's attention. And she's absolutely right. You have to do the research. You can't just start start writing a blog post or writing a page of content or writing an article or writing a case study or working on an infographic or whatever, or working on a video, a storyboard, whatever type of content it is that you're creating, you got to do some research first. You need to understand what it is you're talking about, why you're talking about this. Get your facts straight. In order for the content to resonate with others, they have to understand that you have done the research first. Like, why? Well, because it's easy to kind of recognize that if the research hasn't been done. You know, today, how many times have you read an article and after the first three lines, you start skimming because this sounds suspect. And as soon as you read one fact that you know is incorrect, that article has lost all credibility. You're not reading no more. You just bounced, and they may even get a negative comment depending on what this article was about. Research is that important. Yeah. Make sure that you do it. And I'll tell you this. If it don't sound right, if it's bland or if it's lacking details, meaning I can go get this same kind of re-garbled content from several other sources, then save your time and resources and don't even post it. Do your research and come up with some original content. Share it on your
social profiles.
Yeah, do them a favor and share their content.
Yeah.
Comment on theirs with your 2 cents. You have more value than taking your 2 cents and regurgitating what they already wrote on your own site.
I had a good conversation with a prospect today, and they had looked at one of our accounts, the Manning Pool Service, mm-hmm. and asked, like, where, and our podcast listener had asked, where did the, how did, how, what was the genesis of the concept of creating my pool flooded, what do I do article? I don't remember the exact title. And
what to do if your pool got flooded.
Yeah. And in our case, it was generated in-house. It wasn't from the client, hey, you might want to do this, although that's one of the ways we get a lot mm-hmm. of the ideas for the content we add to sites. This was generated in-house. It was generated as a newsletter initially. Our content results specialist, remember his title, Daniel took it and said, hey, this should be on really good content on the site. Mm-hmm. And so now it's evergreen content on the site. So, put thought into it.
Put some thought into it. And one of the things we did. Exactly. That's what I was getting to. In that specific case, we're here in Houston, Manning Pool Services, a client of ours. They service pools, and we've been getting a lot of rain. If you guys have been watching the news, you know that. And so there were a lot of pools that were flooded.
Yeah.
We began seeing a lot of search volume and other things related to what to do if your pool floods. And so let's add some content for that.
Yeah.
By the way, that's one of the benefits of dealing with an agency. Because if you're internal, like if you work at said company, then you may be kind of in the trenches dealing with that. And you don't recognize from a higher level other opportunities.
Content opportunity, exactly. Yeah.
And so you work with an agency who can not only come up with the opportunity, go ahead and put it together and execute it and put it in place. And you can just go on with your day to day.
And then let you know it's done.
Exactly. Yeah. Number two, she says, seek to teach. And we're talking about, different things you can learn from print in regards to your content. She says, seek to teach. To keep your audience engaged and ensure the content you're creating is worthy of notice, you need to focus on being a teacher. She's right. Look, anytime you can educate a reader, then they sure to engage with the content better. And I can tell you, once they feel educated, then the opportunity for that cycle actually happens.
Right?
As long as they say, I'm leaving this article and I've learned something, it's actually in. Was not a waste of the 3 minutes it took me to read this.
And you have a strong call to action at the bottom of the article.
Exactly. Then I probably will share it. I will like it. I will follow you. Yeah. I will tell somebody else to read it. I will comment. Yeah. But as soon as you didn't teach me anything, as soon as you tell me something that I could have got somewhere else, that I already got somewhere else, or in regards to the first point, you didn't do your research and you probably tried to teach me something that was incorrect, then you get no psycho from me.
Yeah.
You get a bounce from me, and that's not what you want to do.
Number three.
She says, serve your content objective with personality. Julia, great point right here. Yeah, she says, ensure that the content you're writing addresses the topic from an objective viewpoint. She's saying, don't present the same data over and over again from the same viewpoint that everyone else has already seen it from. If you're going to do that, what Chris just say, share that existing content. Just tweet about it, comment on it, and save the space. Save your time, save your resources. However, if you're in a position to write your own objective viewpoint about it, then do that. Stay away from the norm. Like, for example, if you're writing about something already written about, then choose an objective perspective that people haven't heard. Right, find your spin on it. Make it relevant to your company. Make it relevant to some of the pain points your people deal with. And so that way, this same content that they're used to absorbing has more of a spin on it that's relevant to them, that's relevant to your company, and different from all of the other content that's out there.
I think this is relevant. I'm really digging the show and how you all keep it fun. That's delivering content
with personality. Exactly. Number four. She says, master your craft. Duh. Yep. Right. She says, in the world of print copy, every piece that gets published goes through several rounds of edits and proofreads, and by the time it makes it to the magazine, it's flawless. She's right. And this, I see this error with content. I've seen this error internally. We put some stuff in place to fix it. Yep. I've seen it with clients. I've seen it in other places I've been. The fact that it's online, it usually doesn't get as much scrutiny as it maybe should, and therefore it gets published quickly. Mainly because you can edit WordPress, right? Once it's printed in the magazine, there is no edit.
It is
what it is. And so a lot of times that kind of QC may get overlooked because people know they can just go back and change it.
Yeah.
And what she's saying is you want to make sure that the content that's published is well written, that it is spelled correctly, and that it's free of grammar mistakes, because nothing ruins credibility like obvious mistakes and bad grammar and misspellings. I don't care how much research you did or how much fact checking you did or how original this post is or how objective your viewpoint is. If it reads crappy and it's written wrong, I'm not going to read it, and you've lost all. I'm not going to believe it. You've lost all credibility.
I may actually read it and then not believe it or find everything suspect.
Exactly. And so take some time to scrutinize your own content. Master your craft.
Number five.
She says, be the authority. Right, and it's interesting. She's talking about authority here, especially with the wild, you know, Google authorship days of the yesteryear.
Yeah.
Right, but being an authority here is still important. She says, it's not enough to be a good writer or to have published content in the past. Instead, a print journalist would need to know the topic intimately and had a track record to prove it. She's right. You got to be an authority. You don't pick up some print magazine and just and you read it going into it not sure. You read it understanding that, this guy's an authority. I'm pretty sure the content in this magazine is correct.
Yeah.
Look, users want to know that what they're reading is the most authoritative content about that subject. Now, how do you create that authority, right? If you want to be that authority, how do you do that? This is what our eWeb addition to this content.
Right.
Well, you do some speaking engagements. You can maybe do some demo videos, some testimonial videos. Maybe you want to do some live presentations about the specific product, showing that you know this product inside and out, right? Maybe one of the ways I kind of show authority in regards to our results is because we do these kind of videos for our clients and they get to see us interacting with analytics, and it lets them know that, this guy really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so you want to be that authority. Build yourself up so people can trust what they're reading. If they don't trust you, then they're not going to read it and you won't get any engagement.
One way to be the authority, I think, is her number three, maybe, which is to teach.
Yeah.
Right? So when you're teaching, you are the authority.
You are the authority.
You're talking about speaking gigs, same thing. Yeah.
Well, even that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons I do the class.
Yeah.
Right. So on top of the podcast, I teach a quarterly internet marketing class with the University of Houston Small Business Development Center. And that's because they trust me as the authority to even bring this information to all of their members. And I am the authority. And so it makes sense for us to do that.
Yep.
Number six. She says, specify. You have to get into the specifics, man. She says, including well-researched current facts, stats, and figures in your online copy is a fantastic way to make it stand out from a crowd and earn the attention it deserves. Look, people want specifics. She said this up here, and I skipped over it. She says, your content goes to the curb if you use words like very, a lot, big, often, or heavy, because these type of words don't provide any specifics. Like, how much is a lot? It's very subjective.
We've got a client right now who's just coming off of having a previous SEO person, and they said the kind of reports they would get was like, hey, how's my SEO doing? And the response was, dude, you're killing it. You're killing it. And that's
that was all the reward. No, I need some specifics.
Yeah.
Killing it to us means this main turn moved
you
to this position.
You would be calling
ranking.
Us to find out how your report is because the phone's ringing so much, you don't have time. That's killing it.
So you want specifics. And look, using specifics is key to showing value, right? So if you want people to value this article, then you have to use some specifics. Not to mention, it really makes for great link building opportunities. So if you're doing these specifics and you've done that research, then take the opportunity to link out to where that research was.
Yeah.
Great outbound links, relevant to your content, and it is part of the process.
Great
you've done
Google
the research.
Experience.
Exactly. Link out to it. Number seven.
Seven.
She says, fact check everything. Like, everything?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. She says, publishing a piece with shoddy or incorrect facts is an excellent way to shoot yourself and your publication in the foot. Pow.
Yeah.
Because you ain't do no fact checking.
Why are you going to shoot my foot?
Yeah.
Can you shoot your own foot?
No, I tried to and it just went that way.
It's like, I'm just an innocent bystander here.
Well, you were the example of, publishing shoddy or incorrect. Like, you don't want to do, you get shot in the foot.
It's always got to be me.
But the thing is, you ain't make sure, the key to really fact checking is you want to make sure you're not publishing other people's bad facts.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You went and done some research and you found their article and they didn't fact check and now you've published it. That's how rumors and bad gossip and stuff like that get spread also. You want to build your reputation for really always having the facts and having quality content. Right? That's why people become authoritative because people know that this guy's going to have the facts. His content is going to be true.
Do the research.
He's done the research. He's built up that persona and so they believe that.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's had his specific in order,
right.
And so his content gets psychos. Need to fact check everything. Number eight. She says, aim for depth. Right, we're talking about the article. She says, she says, draw on human emotions and pull things like tension, sadness, love, and happiness into the stories you tell. This makes your copy more engaging and helps readers access it easily. And she's right. But let's take this moment here to kind of deviate some to our audience, right? Because most of our people are either SEO people or small businesses, right? And so let's say you're an AC repair company. Then how deep can you get, right? And so, but you need to find those main points. And so if you're an AC company, then maybe you want to include the fact that working with your company may save that family time. It can save them some money.
Yeah.
It could bring some togetherness. It can make them comfortable, right? Highlight some of those same emotional things that your product or service can affect and include that in the copy.
Right.
And so that way those people who are reading it can become attached and feel like this content is written for them.
You want to be comfortable in your house again.
Exactly.
Or your home even better.
Number nine.
Nine.
She says, slice a story into digestible bits. Great one. She says, break up the content into digestible chunks by connecting them to other events, drawing in large characters, or infusing humor and facts for momentary relief. She also says, think of it as slicing a pie rather than attempting to eat the entire thing right out the pan. And she's right. And I'll say this, depending on how long your content is, you may want to break this up into multiple posts. Right, not even bite-sized chunks. You may want to break this down, and I'm gonna post this part on this week, and this next, 500 words next week, and the following 500 words the week after that, and then at the end of the month, I'm gonna put them all together and release a case study or a white paper or an e-guide or something like that. It's okay to break this content up, especially the deeper you get into it. Right, again, on our AC repair company, if you're talking about ways to replace an AC, I'm pretty sure there's 1,000 steps that need to be taken. No need to post that long article because, frankly, I may not need all 1,000 steps.
Right.
But if steps, 900 through 1,000 are on one post, that may be the area I'm at.
I'm pretty good at like 1 through 5, take everything apart.
I've got that now. Now I'm putting it back
maybe
together.
More detail on 6 through 10.
Exactly. Break it up. And her last point was diversify. Number 10. She says, a good print magazine includes stories from dozens of different viewpoints and about dozens of various topics. To keep your online content fresh, shoot for the same thing. I'm going to say I get the point here, Julia, but I think it really depends on industry. Right. So,
Be careful.
Well, for example, if you're HGTV. Right. Then, diversify because you have Fixer Flop. You got Property Brothers. You got House Hunters. You got all these different personalities, all this different content on the same kind of platform,
right,
then yeah, you need these different viewpoints. However, if you're just Property Brothers,
yeah,
right, you don't need to diversify. You right. need all of your content to have the same tone of voice, the same look and feel, the same, you know, continuity. And so understand where you're at in your industry
right.
as much as you need to diversify. You're an AC company, then yeah, your content should speak the same tone, have the same look and feel, should have the same color scheme, right? But let's say you're a Rheem, right? Or American Standard, these bigger AC manufacturers, then yeah, your blog needs to be diverse. You need some content from people in the South, because they use your equipment different from people on the East Coast. They
speak
pumps
different up north, yeah.
AC pumps down here, you know, things like that. And so it really understand where you are at in your industry to kind of determine how much your content should diversify.
I think what it really boils down to is, what does diversify mean for you?
For you, right? Exactly.
So yeah, diversify as much as you can and stay in the
wheelhouse. Stay consistent with what your people are looking for.
That makes sense.
Man, Julia, phenomenal article. 10 valuable content lessons, 10 valuable content marketing lessons from print. We'll post this on our site and follow up.
Boom. All right. Now we got some... What?
Okay, got some what news?
We need your base. What?
News.
I love that. So the what news is, we got Facebooked.
We got Facebooked.
So Daniel, our content results specialist and social media guy, was merging our pages. Mm-hmm. So he merged our pages into one. So we had three and merged into one. And it lost like all the messages and all the reviews from one of those profiles. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I didn't know you were going to replace. I thought you were going to merge.
Yeah,
so we got Facebooked. Come on.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg. In addition to letting people hack your Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest accounts, you should be on top of this, and you should give personal attention to where our data went.
Well, and you know what? And I don't fully blame him. I blame the instructions. I blame probably the rep he spoke with. And some of the experience I had with Google Local. I was talking to
business rep. You've got like 8 different
ideas. Like, I'm talking like, okay, I got the same client, 2 different company names, 2 different pages. I just want to merge them. Talk to rep number one, says, great, all you got to do is get access and you can merge them. Talk to rep number two, after I've gotten access, he says, I can't merge them, I can only delete them. Dude, they both rank number one.
Yeah,
I'm not deleting anything. And so, yeah, I don't fully blame Daniel. He was probably following some instructions that obviously...
Yeah, no, yeah, Daniel. Yeah, Daniel. So this is probably more appropriately phrased, Daniel got Facebook.
Yeah, he got Facebook.
He was making good decisions, or certainly what we thought. You got everything?
Yeah,
all right, so if you're looking to grow your business with the largest, simplest marketing tool on the planet...
The internet.
Call eWeb Results for increased revenue in your business. Our phone number is 713-592-6724. If you have a referral, or somebody you know is interested in internet marketing, that's a website, mm-hmm. that's a social
email
media
marketing,
campaign,
that's social media marketing, that's pay-per-click management, that's search engine optimization, that's custom website design, that's custom email marketing campaigns. It's the whole gamut of things for digital marketing.
Internet related,
yeah.
Right? Go ahead and send that referral to us. If that referral signs up, and when they pay their bill, we will pay you. We were filmed live here at 5999 West 34th Street, Suite 106, Houston, Texas, 77092. The audio and video and transcripts of this podcast can mm-hmm. be found at our website, ewebresults.com. We are the most popular internet marketing podcast.
The most.
On iTunes. I think on Stitcher, and we're working on SoundCloud.
And soon to be SoundCloud.
That is because of all y'all.
You.
Thank all of you all from the United States, Canada, Mexico, across the whole Europe, across the whole world. Thank you for making us the most popular. And by the way, we haven't got anybody hitting us up from around the globe in a while.
Yeah, hit us up.
Yeah, if you're somewhere, not in the Americas, because that's where we get most of our response, go ahead and let
us
know.
Let us know you're tuning in. Hit us up on Twitter, at eWebResults, at BestSEO Podcast, and just tag us. Hey, I'm from here, and I'm checking you guys out.
Or maybe you got a question, send us a question,
yeah.
Podcast at
eWebResults.com.
All right. This has been our podcast. Until the next podcast, my name's Chris Burris.
Charles Lewis.
Bye-bye for now. Slightly raised up, eyebrow, highbrow. Make All right, balance check. Balance check. 3, 2, 5.
SEO podcast 325. Doing it today because Chris out Friday. So what you want to know? I bet you already knew that. We're talking content. Yep, and you need to do that. So please tune in. So what you do when? It's the SEO podcast. We screw in. Put the muscles up. I can keep going. Tune in right now, man. That's all I got.
Let's get it going.
There you go. Appreciate you.
He was flowing.
It all just started fading the white on me. And I, yeah.